Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A rotten performance for the Cowboys last night. Really rotten, as a matter of fact, against Tennessee. And we welcome in Brian Billick. Brian, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great this afternoon.
All right. I mean, a lot of rumblings out of Dallas last night. They fired the offensive line coach before the game on the bye week. Obviously, they don't have the same line anymore. They only got two-fifths of the guys from 3 years ago. Obviously, the center's still got the autoimmune illness, Frederick, which is killing them. They didn't look good, that's for sure. So now the Cowboys, everyone's screaming for change.
Well, yeah, and I think legitimately so. What they put together, what they thought they had, it's just not there. And not the least of which is, like you said, the offensive line due to injury. Prescott, they got to figure out, is indeed he going to be the guy? He needs some help, though. I'm doing a bit on him tomorrow on my show Playbook on the NFL Network. Went back and looked at a bunch of throws, a bunch of sacks, and I mean, he doesn't have anybody who can get separation outside of Cole Beasley. Now, obviously, Amari Cooper did some good things the other night, but it's amazing how many times he has to sit in that pocket and just there's no separation. No one is getting separation from the DB. So, is that Dak Prescott? Is he indeed? Can he be a 500, 550 throw guy? We haven't seen that yet. They got a lot of questions about this team.
Hey, listen, everyone misread him, or a lot of people did anyway. I mean, the first year he was third and one, second and two every down. He had a great offensive line, a big time back. He was the lowest ranked quarterback on third and long from the pocket. So now that he lives on third and long, he's you're getting what you should have got what you got that year to begin with. The problem was no one could evaluate him because his offensive line was so good.
Yeah, and like we said, he's been a sub 500 throw guy from the outset. He's never really had to be. I mean, he's had, but they've never stepped up and lived up to it. We don't know. Can he be a 500, 550 throw guy? And 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. I don't know that he can't. It's always hard to separate the evaluation of quarterback from what's going on around him. And in this instance, that's very true in Dallas. But they, between now and the end of the season, they've got to get a comfort zone of just exactly. Is he going to be the guy, or does that become job one for them in the offseason?
Yeah, the tricky thing there is, they're almost, it's funny, they're almost not even worth discussing because they're so different than everybody else because it's one guy making all the decisions about everything. So, I mean, he's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to keep Garrett because he loves him. He's going to, only bring in the players he wants. I mean, that's, when the owner is in charge of everything, it changes the, we haven't had that except for Al Davis where the owner's in charge of everything.
Yeah, and there are people certainly have been for a while, but even Troy Aikman, has alluded to the fact, and there's no one close to the organization, whether it's Jason Garrett, whether it's Jerry, that whole organization, that whole family. But even Troy Aikman on the broadcast was on his broadcast talking about the Cowboys, said that they need to blow this thing up and total reorganization from the top down.
They do, but it's a fine line, and you know this with ownership. If you got an owner who would rather be involved than win, it's a hard thing to deal with because if he wants to make personnel decisions and doesn't care if he finishes 8-8, there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old adage of you never the client that represents himself. As a lawyer, has a client for a fool.
Bingo. That's exactly right.
It's hard to separate it. So, but I think he is motivated to win. He just really believes he can do it better than anybody else.
Well, it's funny. He made the comment when Jimmy left and he and Jimmy finally split the blanket. He made the comment, I could get 500 guys to coach this team. Well, they haven't won a championship since then. So I guess he hasn't been able to find 500 guys who could coach the team.
Yeah, and a general manager, whatever title you give him, that you can really invest in saying, okay, and I'm sure they have a combination of people that they, push through and put together their draft board. But Jerry, at the end of the day, thinks he knows better than anybody else. And you know what? He's writing the check, so you know that's the way it's going to be.
Let me ask you this. From a standpoint of these young quarterbacks, are you a believer, and you're a guy who was always known to be a guy who had a good touch at developing quarterbacks. Do you believe a young guy gains something during the season being put back on the sideline, or would you leave him in the lineup, or would you take it player by player?
No, unless he emotionally isn't holding up and that's an issue. Of course, if you think he's that kind of guy, then you probably shouldn't have put him in the first place. I'm a big advocate of playing players.
So am I. I agree with you.
Right from the get-go. I don't think they learn anything from the sideline. I think going back to the sideline, they're not going to learn anything.
I agree.
If you need to protect them, then you probably missed. You know, Darnold's going through a tough stretch right now.
But he's not beat up. He's not beat up mentally, though. He's not at all. I'm telling you, he can handle it. And that's why they should leave him alone, because he admits he knows where he screwed up, but he's not beat up. He's ready to go. I think he would have been ready to go right back out the next minute. I think he's mentally fine. I really do.
Yeah, and I think all of these young quarterbacks that are playing right now, obviously none of them are really lighting it up, but I don't think the game is too big for any of them. And they're going to learn. Now, in each of these cases, you got to wrap more things around it. And the Jets, you know, there's more things that they need to help Sam Darnold. But I'd continue to play him, and he'll gain immeasurably between now and then. They will be a better team. He'll be a better quarterback the opener of 2019 if they continue to play him.
But you can see the little thing. We're talking with Brian Billick, brought to you by SeatGeek each week. You can see the subtle things that make such a difference. Perfect example, Coach. Everyone's on Eli, and I understand because he's not getting him in the end zone. Eli's completion percentage this year is 68%. If you look at the kids, and he's been sacked 31 times, if you look at the kids that are starting, they're at 54, 55, 53. Just shows you the little subtleties that the veteran guy knows that gets him completions in the game that the young kid doesn't know how to get yet.
You're absolutely right, and that can only be learned in a game. You can't practice it. You can't show it on film. You can't see it from the sideline. You can only learn it by being in the game and begin to know, you know, when discretion is the better part of valor, when I ought to be able to throw the ball in, when I can take that chance and it's reasonable and not. And to me, the game experience is no replacement for it.
Do you believe when you see these teams failing in red zone, and you've noticed that, especially with the teams with the big wideout, with the Giants, Beckham, with Atlanta, Julio Jones, when they get in the red zone and they've moved the ball down the field, these teams do not let that guy catch the ball. All right, so you know that's the case. They are not catching the ball. With that's the case, when you're calling plays and you're diagramming plays, is it more important what you do with the rest of the passing game, or is it more important that you can run the ball down there? They're going to take away your big guy. You know that going in. Julio's had one catch in the red zone in 2 years. Beckham, same thing. You know that. So is it more important the routes you're going to run with the rest of your receivers, or is it more important that you have the ability to run it down there?
All of the above. I mean, there's three things you have to be good in the red zone. Certainly you have to have the ability to have a guy when you get the right matchup, when they don't double them and they don't roll the coverage there and they don't bracket them, and you can see that, you got to take your chance. If you got a guy like Julio Jones, when you got a guy like OBJ, and you got to be able to take that shot and get it in the end zone. Secondly, you got to be able to throw the ball underneath these soft zones we see, and you have to have guys who can get the yards after the catch, that you can throw a 4 or 5 yard pass and he can get you into the end zone. And then finally, yes, you've got to be able to run the ball. You've got to be physical enough, and the best red zone teams have the ability to do that. And when you add that ability, then that's going to open up some more of those one-on-one opportunities that they just don't want to give you if you have one of those big receivers.
And then if you add a little mobility from the quarterback like Mahomes has now with Hunt, with Hill, and all those weapons, that's why he's so good in the red zone. I mean, they can do all of the above.
Yeah,
they can move you. They can move the pocket. They can move everything.
It breaks down those zone defenses, 4-cross zone that everybody likes to play, because at some point a receiver, and if you've got a quarterback with a quick trigger like Mahomes, and that's what's the most impressive thing to me, is how quickly the ball comes out of his hands. Exactly right. Now you're breaking down a defense. There's no way they can hold up long enough if you've got a guy that can do that outside the pocket.
Did you like to move your quarterback a lot in the red zone?
It depends on the quarterback. Some guys.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you had, all things considered, if you had an average guy, did you want to move him much in the red zone, or it wasn't that important to move him?
The only problem with moving is if you move a guy down in the red zone, you cut the field in half. It's a tight field to begin with. And you got to be disciplined not to throw one of those Brett Favre across your body back to the other side.
Gotcha.
That's low percentage.
Yeah.
So it's a reduced enough space as it is. If you sprint out a lot to avoid protection or try to break something down, you're really confining the space to operate.
Well, I guess, and you guys probably have screamed this more than anybody else, right? Late middle is going to kill you against basically anywhere on the football field. You don't want to throw late middle against anybody, right, for the most part.
Late in the red zone, period. Now, occasionally a guy will make a play and come out and grin at you going, see, that was pretty late. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to pay.
So what you see from Mahomes, give me what you like about Mahomes the best. You think it's the release that you like the best?
Yeah, it's such a quick release. He's decisive. He sees things quickly. He's very accurate. He gets the ball out of his hands quick. Now, he can do things outside the pocket, don't get me wrong. And that's a good thing. But he appears to be a guy that can actually do it from within the pocket. And that's what separates him. There's a lot of guys that can run around and be outside and do those things. But he looks like he can be. And I've always said, you're not going to win a championship unless you can do it from the pocket. The other stuff is good, but you got to have a guy that can do it from the pocket. He looks like a guy that could do that.
And you know, you notice that they do take these big receivers away. Julio Jones had one red zone touchdown in the last 2.5 years. I mean, that's unbelievable.
And clearly that's what people are doing. They're going to make sure that Julio Jones isn't going to beat him. I can hear the head coach going right now, seeing you throw after throw down the field, going over to the coordinator and going, look, I don't care if they score or not. I don't want number 11 to score, okay? Whatever you got to do to stop that guy.
What did you think of the Saints and the Rams?
Great game. Great game. And there's no shame in for the Rams going into to New Orleans and losing that game.
No, they made a nice comeback, too. They made a good comeback.
They did. And there's a lot of win in that. There's a lot. The fact that they got down would have been very easy to kind of throw in the towel. But the way they fought back and made a game of it, that bodes very well for them. Certainly New Orleans, and we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks, Mike. We said going into this stint of at Baltimore, at Minnesota, and then at home against the Rams, we were going to find out about the Saints, and they've answered the question in spades. They've planted their flag as the team to beat in the NFC.
I tell you, right now they have the best offensive line in the league, too. That line has become sensational. It really has. They don't lay a glove on him.
No, and the fact that then in the running game, the combination, I would agree with you. That has been a big, with all the success they have with Michael Thomas and Kamara and Ingram and obviously Drew Brees, who's spectacular, it's overshadowed the fact that this offensive line is really a strength of this team.
It really has. It's been put together very well. And, you know, quietly, if you look, the Colts, and give the general manager credit, he said, I'm going to rebuild this line before I do anything else. Luck hasn't been sacked in 3 games, and if you notice his productivity, and now he's getting weapons back, they have been lighting it up the last couple of weeks, and all of a sudden they're winning games again now, and his numbers, he's already thrown 23 touchdown passes, and he hasn't been sacked now for the first time in his career in 3 games.
Yeah, we're seeing everything we knew and believed in Andrew Luck from before. Obviously, with the injury and then the bad offensive line as well, can he hold up? Is he really that good? Yeah, he's really that good. And they were doing the smart thing and wrapping protection around him. The rest will come. And think about this. You know, the first year back from an injury like he's had, usually it's not until the second year that productivity really shows up. So they're ahead of the curve.
Are you a Carr guy or not a Carr guy? Do you like Carr with the Raiders or not like Carr?
I like Derek Carr. I mean, you're talking about a 4,000-yard guy, touchdown to interception. I just – there's too many things going on around him that he's trying to overcome. I can't imagine that they're serious about not knowing if Derek Carr is going to be their guy going forward. If Derek Carr were in the open market, there'd be 10 teams that would give you multiple picks for this guy. I think he's that good.
Well, I think you're right. I think he might be on the market. I think that could definitely be happening. Thanks very much, Coach. Talk next week. Thank you.
Sounds good.
All right. Getting tickets can be complicated with hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability. It's hard to know where to go. Well, SeatGeek tells you where to go. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats for the right price. Every purchase is guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to ticket source for everything from sports to concerts to comedy to theater. Listeners to the Brian Billick Report get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code Billick, B-I-L-L-I-C-K, and promo code Billick for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Life's an event. We have the tickets. SeatGeek, back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.